Answers with Ken Ham, a 12-part video series defending the Bible from the very first verse. Today's question, where did the races come from? And now, Ken Ham.
I want to start this session off with a question. The question I want to ask you is this: how many different races are there in the world today? 1, 6, 8, more than 10, doesn't matter. You know, it's interesting, if I ask that question of a church group without giving them any previous teaching, I find the majority of people will say, well, there's a number of different races, many different races. I have a quote here spoken before the American Association for the Advancement of Science convention in Atlanta in 1995. This particular scientist said this: race is a social construct derived mainly from perceptions conditioned by events of recorded history, and it has no basic biological reality. You know, the secular world is actually telling us that there's no basic biological reality for different races and so on. In fact, all human beings are classified as Homo sapiens sapiens. We're all the same genus, species, and subspecies. And so therefore, really from a biological perspective, how many races are there? There's only one race of human beings. And of course, this is exactly what the Bible is telling us. The biblical view is that we all go back to Adam and Eve. We all go back to one man and one woman. Of course, this is absolutely vital. It's important to understand there could only be one man to start with and one woman to start with, because only descendants of Adam can be saved. Jesus Christ is called the last Adam. He became one of us. He became of our blood to die for the descendants of Adam. And so that's why it's so important to understand we all go back to one man and one woman. It's so very sad when I have students come and tell me that their Bible college or Christian college professor told them that God must have made a race of men and a race of women to start with. Otherwise, how can you explain all the different so-called races of people? Of course, then you've got a problem. If you're not of Adam's race, then you can't be saved, right? And that's terrible. That doesn't make sense at all. That doesn't fit with what the Bible is telling us. Now, therefore, there's really only one race. Well, the Bible doesn't use the word race, not in the original language, certainly doesn't use the word race. It's obvious that we all go back to Adam and Eve. If that's true, then we have to also answer a question here that's very, very important. In fact, you know the most asked question I get asked anywhere in the world, the most asked question, I've been asked it millions of times, I think. Where did Cain get his wife? I've been asked that question so many times, I talk about more about Cain's wife than my own wife these days. It gets very, very embarrassing. You know what's interesting? You heard of the Scopes trial, Dayton, Tennessee in 1925? The man who stood for Christianity there, William Jennings Bryan, when he was being asked questions by the ACLU lawyer, was asked the question, where did Cain get his wife? And you know what? He couldn't answer it. And you know what's sad? I find today most Christians can't answer that question. When I get in Christian radio and talk shows, the most asked question that I'm ever asked is, where did Cain get his wife? It seems to me the church is not giving the answer. In the book Contact, you heard of the movie Contact by Carl Sagan? Well, in that particular book, there's a fictional character, Ali, who goes to a Sunday school teacher and asks questions. And the Sunday school teacher can't ask the question, so Ali's basically booted out of Sunday school. You know one of the questions he puts in there? Where did Cain get his wife? Because Carl Sagan also knew that that's one of the most asked questions, wasn't answered at the Scopes trial, and most people can't answer it today. And yet it's a very, very simple question to answer. And it's very important to answer, because if you can't answer where Cain got his wife, then how do you defend that all people go back to one man and one woman? And you know why non-Christians ask that question? Because they think we don't have an answer, and by asking the question, they're really saying, see, why should I believe the Bible? How can you explain we go back to one man and one woman? Another one of those questions we have to have answers to. Well, let's have a look at it then, a bit of detail. First of all, I need to ask you another question. Can you marry your relation? Yes, no, probably, only after counselling. Now, you would be surprised at the number of people when I say, can you marry your relation? They say, well, no, you can't marry your relation. You know, relations aren't allowed to marry. Wait a minute. If you were married, have a look at your wife and think about this. If she wasn't related to you before you married her, you didn't marry a human, then you're really in trouble. So what did you marry? When you get married, you have to marry your relation, right? Because we're all related. We're all of one blood. We all go back to Adam and Eve. So there's nothing wrong with marrying your relation. You marry your relation. It's just today you don't marry a close relation. But let's explain that. 1 Corinthians 15:45, Paul says that the first man, his name was Adam. How many men to start with? One man, Adam. And then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. In fact, in the Hebrew, it literally reads, she was to be the mother of all the living. In other words, one man and one woman. Well, if we started with one man and one woman, and Paul in Acts 17, verse 26 says that we're all of one blood, we're all related, we're all one, is what he's saying there as he's explaining the gospel to the Greeks, then If that's so, one man, one woman, where did Cain get his wife? Because the Bible talks about Cain, Abel and Seth, correct? But it also says in Genesis 5:4 that Adam and Eve, we're talking about Adam, it says the days of Adam after he begotten Seth were 800 years and begat sons and, what's that word?
Daughters.
That's right. Not just sons, but sons and daughters. So get rid of all these outside influences. Just take the Bible. If God made Adam and Eve and they had sons and daughters, then brothers must have married whom? Sisters. I remember being at a restaurant in London where the chef found out that we were running a creation seminar, and he came out and he said, "You believe the Bible?" I said, "Yes, I believe the Bible." "I don't believe the Bible." "Why don't you believe the Bible?" "Well, it says God made Adam and Eve and they had Cain and Abel. Where do all the people come from then?" I said, "Oh, Genesis chapter 5 verse 4 says Adam and Eve had sons and daughters." "Oh," he said, "I didn't read that far." And you know, that's a problem with a lot of people today. They don't read that far. But as soon as I say, well, brothers married sisters originally, people say, "Wait a minute, wait, that's incest." Hang on, incest is a modern word to explain things in a modern context. And certainly there are some immoral things that the incest covers, but when it comes to close relations marrying, that was not a problem originally. You see, it wasn't until Leviticus 18, the time of Moses, that God brought in the laws against close intermarriage. That's the first time we read about that, where God said no longer can close relations marry. And you might say, well, why is it that close relations can marry back then, could marry back then, but they can't marry today? Well, to understand this, you've got to do what I call think poodle. Now, the reason I say that is because just as a poodle is full of mistakes, right, so we are full of mistakes. I mean, look around the room. I can see them staring at me. We've got all sorts of mistakes because of sin and the curse. And so what that means is this. You see, since the time of the curse, these mistakes have been adding up in our genes over time. And today we have lots of them. We all carry these mistakes in our genes. And the problem is this. If brother and sister were to marry today and have offspring, it's more likely their children would inherit the same mistakes from the parents, and those mistakes then could cause deformities in the offspring. That's why it's better to marry someone further out way in relationship from you, and you just inherit different mistakes and you degenerate anyway. But have a think about this. As you go back towards Adam and Eve, would you expect more mistakes or fewer mistakes? Fewer. Until at the time of Adam and Eve before sin, how many mistakes? Zero. So their children would have had relatively few mistakes, right? So there was no problem with brother and sister marriage originally, provided it was one man for one woman for life, which is what marriage is all about. Because you marry a relation, you don't marry a close relation today because of these sorts of problems and other problems too. But originally it wasn't a problem at all. You see, that's very, very easy to understand. So now we've established, okay, we can answer that question. We know that we all go back to Adam and Eve. We know where Cain got his wife. We can understand that. But how do you explain these different people groups? Surely there must be races. I mean, they really do look so different when you look at people around the world. There was an interesting article on the science page of ABC News on the internet, and they were discussing particular research that was done on the topic of races. They said this, in an article in the summer issue of the Journal of Counseling and Development, Cameron and Wyckoff argue that the term race is so meaningless it ought to be discarded. And they went on and said this, in the field of genetics, researchers have concluded that the genetic differences between the so-called races account for only 0.012% of human biological variation. Let me explain to you what that means. Because you see, when most people look at the different people groups around the world, they say, wow, they look so different. Actually, the differences are basically insignificant. Now you might think, but look at all those differences. Look at all those different sorts of people. Well, the differences are really insignificant. We see them as major because we've been trained that way to see them as major. It's the culture we've been brought up in. See, the second world divides the human race into a number of main, what are called racial groups. Caucasoid, Mongoloid, Negroid, and the Australian Aborigines were on a group on their own, and we'll explain why in another session, but they were considered the missing link once, sadly, between ape-like creatures and man because of Darwinian evolution. Very sad aspect of Australia's history. But when you look at those particular groups, they're divided up on the basis of what are called racial differences, like usually such things as, what, skin colour, eye shape, things like that. Now, what scientists have found is that if you look at any two people in this auditorium right now, the difference between you genetically is about 0.2%, okay? That's the difference genetically. Interestingly enough, the so-called racial differences, like skin colour, eye shape and so on, only constitute about 6% of that 0.2%, which means 0.012% difference, which is rather insignificant, isn't it? It really is small. In other words, the difference between any two people is greater than the differences that constitute the so-called racial characteristics, which means those racial characteristics, so-called, are insignificant. Now people might say, now wait a minute, let's take skin colour. Got all these different people, you've got people with black skin, light skin, look how different they are, they're very different. No, they only look very different because we've been trained to see them as different. You see, basically all human beings have the same skin colour. We have a pigment called melanin, there's two forms of it, pheomelanin, eumelanin, but it's basically the one pigment. You can have a lot of that pigment, you can be very dark, you can have a little bit of that pigment, you can be very light, and you can be anywhere in between. In fact, the majority of the world's population are middle brown. Now remember when we talked about natural selection, when we talked about genes, we talked about pairs of genes like big A, big B, little B, and so on. Well again, let's look at some of these basic principles here in regard to skin colour. And even though it's much, much, much more complicated than this, the basic principles are the same nonetheless. They do think that there's probably about 6 genes that control skin colour or the amount of pigment, melanin, that we have in our skin. But let's assume here big A means lots of melanin, big B means lots of melanin, little A, small amount of melanin, little B, small amount of melanin. So if you have big A, big B, big B, that means you'd be dark because you'd have lots of melanin, right? So you'd be black, perhaps. If you have little A, little B, you'd be very light. That means you'd be white, or what people would call white. If you have big A, big B, little B, you'd have medium shade, middle brown skin. Very, very easy to understand. Now, as you think about that, all right, if you start with big A, big B, little B, what colour would Adam and Eve's skin have been? I don't believe Adam and Eve would have been what we call white. Because if they had just all little A's and little B's, a little bit of melanin, then their children would have been all little A's, little B's, that'd all be white. That wouldn't make sense, would it? And then all their descendants would be white. I don't believe Adam and Eve would have been real dark, black, because if they were big A, big B, big B, the children would all be big A, big B, big B, and so all their descendants would be black. That wouldn't make sense. But if Adam and Eve were in the middle, with big A, big B, little B, some of their children could be white, some of their children could be dark, and anywhere in between. In fact, Cain, Abel, and Seth could have been light through to dark, if you like. And by the way, that's not unusual. There are people in the world today who are just like that. There really are. There are families. If you go to India, you see families like that. So Adam and Eve, I believe, would have been middle brown. That would make sense genetically, right in the middle. Did you know there were twins born in England? And twins were born in England, one was very dark and one was very light. And you know, people couldn't believe that those twins had the same father and mother, but it's very easy to understand when you understand some basic genetics. And you can see how people can have all sorts of prejudices if they don't understand some basic genetics here and don't understand some of these processes. Now, people say, okay, but wait a minute. We find cultures today where black people only produce black people and light people only produce white people. How do you explain that? Well, let's think about this for a moment. Can you think of an event in history that could split up a population and cause one group to take certain selections of genes in one area and another group take certain selections of genes towards another area and so on? Remember when we talked about dogs, we talked about natural selection and talked about forming different varieties of dogs. If a small population split off a large population and went in one particular direction, eventually you find that the genetic characteristics would look a little different to another group that split off and went in a different direction, took different combination of genes. Is there anything in human history that you can think of that could explain how you could split up the human population and cause different combinations of genes to go in different directions? Can anyone think of an example? The Tower of Babel. You know, when God gave different language at the time of the Tower of Babel, you're going to get people splitting up and going to different places all over the earth. Now think about this. If you get people that eventually end up in an area and they only have big A's and big B's, then they would only ever produce black people, right? And if some ended up with only little A's and little B's, they'd only produce what? Light. That's right. They'd only produce light. And if some ended up with big A, big B, little B, well, then they would be middle brown. They could produce light through to dark, couldn't they? In that particular group. By the way, if somebody ends up with two big A's and two little B's, they'll only produce people who are middle brown continuously. They're middle brown people who only produce people who are middle brown. If you think about it, there are groups that'll continue to produce middle brown people as middle brown people, but there are some middle brown people that are produced dark through to light. It just depends on the particular genetic makeup that they have. And see, the same is true of eye shape. Sometimes people look at eye shape and say, but look at these eyes, aren't they different? There's the almond eye shape, and look at those other eyes there. Actually, the eyes are all the same. It's just due to the amount of fat in a fold in your eye as to how much fat that's there that causes your eye to have that particular shape. That's all it's due to. Again, really, the differences are insignificant. The differences are very, very small when it comes down to it. In fact, on the ABC News science page, said this, in the same article that I was referring to earlier, what the facts show is that there are differences among us, but they stem from culture, not race. And that's very, very important to understand, because you see, from an evolutionary perspective, people have been looking at the differences due to evolution, but the differences are primarily cultural. It's due to the way in which these particular populations have developed over the years. And as in this same research, talking about one of the researchers, it says, as day adds, it's kind of like if all of us are recipes. We have the same ingredients, maybe in different amounts, no matter what kind of cake we turn out to be. In fact, I like to picture it this way. If you start off with a cake mix, you can actually have the same basic recipe, but you can have slight variations, and yet it's really the same basic recipe of cake. Well, in the same way, you start off with Adam and Eve in the original DNA recipe, right? We've all got the same basic recipes, but we have slight variations because we're all Homo sapiens sapiens. Remember, the difference between any two of us genetically is only about 0.2%, and those so-called racial characteristics constitute only about 6% of that, which is 0.012%. In other words, those so-called racial characteristics really are insignificant. You know, as I was thinking about this too, I think it's very important for us here just to apply this in a particular way. Because you see, we've all been taught, if we've gone through public education, secular college, that man, you know, went through a primitive stage, he learned to grunt, he learned to talk, until he finally invented the telephone. Isn't that sort of the way in which we're taught? You know, he goes through a stone age and a bronze age and iron age and so on as he gets more intelligent, and here we are in a jet age. I have people often come to me and say, you know, do you believe in cavemen? You know what I say? Absolutely. Cavemen are men that live in caves. There are cavemen in the world today. If you go to Australia, in towards the centre of Australia, there's a little town called Coober, which is so hot, they mine opals there, that people live in caves under the ground. Real live cavemen that have TV sets and all sorts of other modern amenities as well. But you see, I want you to think about this. When the event of the Tower of Babel occurred, what would happen as a result of that? You're going to get different people going in different directions. And for instance, if I was at the Tower of Babel and you came with me, we would live in a cave, because the Lord didn't give me ability to build anything. I don't know why, but it must be a mutation missing from my genes, okay? So we would live in a cave. You would be cavemen if you came with me. Now, if my brother was there, my brother-in-law, they're builders. So they would probably go out and build a city, and you'd live in a city. So then you'd have cavemen living beside people who live in a city. And with me, I don't have a clue how to get metals and smelt them and make metal tools and so on. We'd probably use stone tools. So we'd be a Stone Age people, right? But others might say, hey, we found some sources of metals, and they were intelligent enough to know what to do with them, and they could make metal tools. And that's a whole different view of history, isn't it? You see, when you start from the Bible, you have a whole different way of looking at these people around the earth. When we first discovered the Australian Aborigines, we could call them a Stone Age people. Does that mean that they're still primitives and they're still way back here in an evolutionary sense? Not at all. There would have been Stone Age people right there after the Tower of Babel. In fact, after Noah's Ark landed, Noah lived in tents, didn't he? I mean, until they were able to chop down trees, or trees even grew again to be able to chop down trees to build houses or build stone huts and so on, they would live in tents or live in caves. So you see, what you believe about where you came from affects the whole way in which you interpret the evidence in the present. And it's very, very important that we do that. You see, another thing, I was just on radio, in fact, this morning before we recorded this program, and a man calls up and he says, oh, wait a minute, he says, people back then wouldn't have understood Genesis because they were unintelligent, not like us. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. I even have Christians who say, well, you know, people back then wouldn't have understood science. That's why, you know, Genesis had to be written in a simplistic way. Wait a minute, when God made Adam and Eve, They were probably many times more intelligent than us. Wouldn't that be right? We've suffered from mutations. I mean, they had a perfect language to start with, and God could communicate with them, and a perfect brain and so on. They would have been incredibly intelligent. They could probably, you know, if you get the Guinness Book of Records and put the best musician and the best mathematician and the person who's got the best memory, photographic memory, put all those together, you're probably a little closer to what Adam was like. Make you feel dumb? As I said to one particular man who was saying, you know, Genesis is written simplistically so people back there would understand it. I said, sir, do you know why Genesis is written simplistically? It's not, you know, in a simple way, in other words, easy to understand. So you and I would understand it. Because, you see, we have degenerated considerably since the time of Adam and Eve. Well, one of the sad things is, again, Dr. Hugh Ross, who's a progressive creationist who believes in millions of years and believes Noah's flood was just local and so on, because he can't believe in rapid speciation, because he believes in a local flood and therefore doesn't want to account for the animals getting off Noah's ark and spreading over the earth and so on, he then says the origin of the so-called human races has to be because God just gave them different colours and different eye shapes at the time of the Tower of Babel. Well, that's certainly not true at all. Once you understand some basic genetics, you can start to understand these things very, very simply indeed. But you know what? Sadly, when you try to marry millions of years of man's ideas to the Bible, then you've got to distort the Bible in all sorts of ways. And then you can't even accept real science, because then you can't accept the processes that we've been talking about, that we observe in the modern world. You know, it really is very, very important that we build our thinking on the Bible and that we put on our biblical glasses, as I said, and then we go out and interpret the world in that way. And that's what we're really doing as Christians. You see, all the evidence is the same. When you think about it, creationists, evolutionists, we have the same people groups, we have the same fossils, we have the same world, we have the same evidence. It's how you look at the world and how you interpret it based upon your beliefs to start with. That's the difference. And what I'm sharing with us today is that we need to put on our biblical glasses. And when it comes to the different people groups around the world, when you put on your biblical glasses, understanding there's one race of people, we all go back to Adam and Eve. And when we understand the event of the Tower of Babel, Noah's flood and so on, we understand biblical history, and you apply that to the world, guess what? It makes sense. And you know something else that fits with that? Did you know that the Australian Aborigines, the American Indians, the Fijians, the Hawaiians, nearly every people group like that in the world has stories or dreamtime legends in their culture that sound like Genesis. In fact, the Australian Aborigines even have a story about a time when there was one language. And they have stories about a global flood. They have stories about woman made while man was asleep. The American Indians have stories about a global flood. I remember when I first went to the Grand Canyon, they had one of the Yavasupai Indian legends there in the museum. It was about the mother of all living whose descendants escaped on a boat during the Great Flood. And you see, all this attests to the fact that all these people go back to Noah. They've handed down these stories. They've changed them. But the real record is in the Bible. Because you see, we all go back to one man and one woman. You know what? When you start with the Bible, you can make sense of the evidence. You can make sense of the world. And what a difference it makes when you tell people that we're all related, we're all equal before God. I remember in Australia as a teacher, when I would talk on this particular topic, some of the Australian Aboriginal children would come up to me so thrilled and beaming. You mean we're all the same skin colour? Yes. You mean we're all related? Yeah, you're related to me. You're one of my relations. And we all go back to Noah and back to Adam because it fits them into history, doesn't it? Shows where we fit into history and what a difference it makes to the way we approach people as well. Again, using my block diagrams, when you start from God's word as truth, we have a basis for understanding there's only one race of people. And then we understand what marriage is all about, right and wrong, purpose and meaning in life. But when you start from evolution, the idea that man evolved from some primitive ancestor and different races of people came about and so on, no wonder there have been racist attitudes in our culture. And we'll talk about that in a future session as we discuss the real answer to racism. And of course, the real answer to racism is starting from God's word. One of the things that we see happening in our culture today is the collapse of a Christian worldview, because unfortunately that foundation of God's word has been removed. You see, once you remove the foundation of God's word and you say this is not the history of the universe, then what are you going to replace it with? Man's word, primarily an evolutionary view that man evolved from some ape-like ancestor. And as a result of that, if students and schools apply that consistently, if there's no God and I'm a result of some ape-like ancestor and I'm just an animal, then who decides right and wrong? Well, I do. Well, why not abort babies? Well, why not do what you want with sex? Well, why not do what I want to some other culture if I don't like them? Why not develop certain prejudices and racist attitudes? And that's why I often show people my two castle diagrams to remind us of a real battle that's occurring in our culture. When you start from the foundation of evolution, that man determines truth, the castle of humanism, those issues that come out of that. School violence, racism, abortion, and so on. Because once you start from a foundation that there's no God, then you can do anything you want, ultimately, if you can get away with it. In other words, you decide truth for yourself. But when you start from the foundation of creation, God's word is truth, you have then a foundation for the castle of Christianity. But we see the whole framework of Christianity collapsing in our nations in the West today. Why? Because the evolutionists and the humanists have been very clever, get people away from believing the Bible and believing the biblical view of history. And once you knock out that foundation, the structure collapses. And what do Christians do? They shoot everywhere. Even trying to fight these issues, they're trying to fight racism and school violence and so on, not realizing the real problem is down at a foundational level. In other words, because there's been a change in foundation from God's word to man's word, what we've got to do is change that foundation back to God's word. In other words, we need to get out there and preach the authority of the word of God. We need to preach God's word, but people don't listen today often because they say, oh, but science has proved the Bible wrong, and that's where we need to have answers. Where did Cain get his wife? Well, I've got an answer for you. Where did different races come from? Well, I've got an answer for you. Well, I really encourage you to think about these things very carefully, study them in more detail. We have a great little booklet out called Where Did Cain Get His Wife? And that can go through that particular question for you and answer it in detail. And we also have a book called The Answers Book. Where did the races come from? Where did Cain get his wife? It even answers other questions like what happened to the dinosaurs? What about carbon dating? We need to have answers for this culture so we can defend our Christian faith. Thank you.
For more information on Answers in Genesis, call toll-free 1-800-350-3232 or visit our website, answersingenesis.org.